You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Well, we want to thank our guest who was on the line with us there, and that was Scott Smith, senior writer for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are in the same position, I think, that the Cleveland Browns were in last year.
Yes.
And that is, you are welcoming a college phenom, okay, who had a career on the field.
Yes.
And who definitely had a career off the field. Okay. Johnny Manziel here last year, and how the Browns had to work through that in training camp and all the publicity and the notoriety and the coverage that they got nationally. And they're going to face that down in Tampa now with Jameis Winston coming in. You hear much more about him than you do about Mariota.
You absolutely
don't
do.
Don't you? Do you agree?
You 100%. And I think as I saw, even still with Johnny Manziel, when you have so much success at the college level, which both Johnny Manziel and Jameis Winston did, both of course being Heisman Trophy candidates or winners, for that fact matter, they're actually very hard on themselves. And that was the point that you tried to make when Jameis Winston finally faced true adversity and that one defeat, just how negative and down and angry he became. And this is being drafted by a franchise that went 2-14. That's not going to go 14-2, you know, immediately, on the flip side.
Yeah, here's the thing. We're talking about the Rose Bowl, and he was in the semifinal against Oregon. Okay, and Ohio State's playing later that night against Alabama. And they go in there, and, you know, some people thought they had a really good shot to win that game.
They did.
Because nobody had beaten them. Now, they had been on the ropes last year
a number of times.
I mean, Clemson had them, the game that Winston was suspended for.
Yes.
Boston College had them late in the year. So, Florida, I think, even played them pretty well. So, I mean, they were not as dominant as they were the year before.
Correct.
Okay, but they got in there. They're undefeated. He had never lost, and it didn't go well.
No.
And they turned the ball over on the goal line a couple of times.
Yes.
And it wasn't going well. I mean, all day long they were chasing Oregon, literally.
Right.
Chasing Oregon. And I thought mentally he came unwound.
I do too.
And I think he fought with teammates.
Yes.
And I think he even fought with his coaching staff on the sideline, as I remember.
Yeah, it was arguing over play calls.
That would trouble me. That would trouble me.
It would. Combined with, you know, some of the off-field snafus.
Yeah, I mean, that troubles me.
And it just goes to show, that's part of being a pro, and I think for every individual out there, you know, how you react in the face of adversity. And for someone like Johnny and someone like Jameis Winston, when things came easy and, you know, you just won and then you're off the field, is just growing in notoriety, your brand is growing,
right,
that all of a sudden the NFL can be a very humbling experience when you get out there with a bunch of grown men and play football.
Now, I will remember Manziel at Texas A&M, and he never did that.
Right.
Okay, he didn't go over. He didn't bicker with Kevin Sumlin. He didn't fight with his offensive line. And I saw him lose a couple of games. I mean, they lost a few times.
They did.
Down there. And, you know, I thought he was okay with the way all of that went. So I didn't see that side of him. So, no, you're right. They went 2-14 last year, and Winston is going to face some adversity.
He will.
And how do you face adversity?
It'll be tough. It'll be very tough. And I think for him, he's got to lean on all his teammates to be, you know, his strength and his crutch, because as you've talked about with Scott earlier on the phone and him here at the rookie center, that bubbly, joyous young kid.
The kids loved him.
Exactly. Who loves the game of football and has exuded that at every point since he's become a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
Incidentally, he had nothing but great things to say about Cameron Irving and how important he was to him at Florida State, and how he admired him for what he did, changing positions to help the team, and that's good for the Browns.
It definitely is.
Steve is in Barberton on the line right now and on Cleveland Browns Daily. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call today.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling.
You guys are doing a great job.
Oh, well, thanks.
You guys are doing a great job.
I have a great time with Matt. I missed him last week when he was in Mexico. We're a better country when he's here.
We are.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't miss you. Listen, what I wanted to say was, I think you guys are right. Winston has to realize that there's 11 people on the team. And when things go south, you got to remember there's 10 other professionals there to do their job. And when he learns that it's all not have to be on his shoulders every week to pile on and try to pull that team ahead, he'll be doing great. He will learn to say, okay, I can trust what my other professionals are going to do. And that's part of growing up in the NFL, to know them guys are going to do their job.
Absolutely.
And
you know, there
happens,
Yeah. Go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
When that happens, that will click in his head that it ain't me. I can do what I can do, and they got to do their job, and we can win this game or improve whatever they're, you know, whatever they're after, they can get done with him.
Yeah. Good points. There were other times. There are points in what he is as a quarterback that you definitely say, wow, this guy has no fear.
No.
Okay? If the windows are tight in the NFL, and they are going to be a lot tighter than they are in college football,
right,
to throw into, I don't think he's even going to be bashful about doing that, which leads to what you were saying. You know, is he going to have more interceptions than he is touchdowns? Because I don't think that there is any fear in him. I think he feels he can thread the needle all the time.
I agree with you, and I thought, as I mentioned there to Scott at the end, and why I brought up more touchdowns than interceptions, just because, you know, he may get off really quickly early, but eventually he'll level off, and the NFL will become a little too much for him until he catches up again, and so his numbers are going to go up and down and up and down all season. But and why I mentioned his weapons, you know, Mike Evans. And Vincent Jackson. Both 6'4", 240 pounds, big catch radius. Johnny Manziel knows this better than anybody.
He
know,
does.
So Jameis Winston's margin for error is a little bit larger. Those tight windows aren't as tight when you have big physical receivers. He's got Myers there, the tight end. So it'll give him a little bit margin for error. But, of course, Jameis, as I saw in Johnny this offseason, just they expect to be perfect. You know, and that wherein lies some of the frustration they have is they want to make all the throws, you know, because they've done it before. They just have their mind hasn't caught up yet that this is the next level.
He was fantastic against Notre Dame last year when they both went in undefeated. He rallied them when things did not go well for a long period of time. Yep. Notre Dame had the lead and looked like had won the game.
Absolutely.
And he was terrific in that game. He was bizarre, though, the night that he was suspended for the game against Clemson, and he came out for pregame warmups in his uniform.
Right.
And Jimbo Fisher had to say, get out of here.
Yes.
You're suspended.
I just don't know how that happens. And for
how
me,
does that happen?
Because it here's exactly how it happens. Happened is he probably showed up to a locker with his sweat gear, you know, laid out for him to wear on the sidelines because of his suspension. And while Jimbo was in the coach's office or out on the field already, maybe talking to the other head coach or so, what head coaches do on the day of the game, is Jameis went to the equipment guy, who's probably in fear of Jameis Winston because of who he is and the record that he has. And he literally Jameis talked his way into him giving him his uniform so that, I already talked to Jimbo. He might have even lied to say that he talked to Jimbo for a clearance to get his uniform so that he could pull off that stunt.
I just remember that night. That was absolutely bizarre.
Yeah.
Now, he was terrific in the national championship game against Auburn.
Right.
Because they were in a dogfight that night, and he rallied them a couple of times, and they won that game. But we'll see what he can do in the NFL because there are going to be rougher Sundays than there were Saturday nights.
Yes, there will.
For him. And again, our information for you today, the Browns have released their training camp schedule, and it begins open to the public Thursday, July 30th. My best advice to you all is to go to clevelandbrowns.com because there they'll have all the information about how you register to come in. The practices are free, but you have to register to come in. When you can do that, the dates that will be open.
Or the Browns mobile app.
Yeah, there you go.
That'll be easy for those of you who don't get on a computer.
And that would be a language, again, that I do not know. 11 free public practices in Berea.
Yes.
And then the one down in Columbus.
Which is sold out.
60,000 people down there for the orange and brown scrimmage. Terrific show so far.
So far, so
good. All right,
good.
We're almost there.
We are.
Anyway, we'll be back after the break. We continue on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. But baby, I've been praying hard.